Thanks, Andrew. I'm still trying to get that picture out of my mind of you running around in the shower. He's so thin he has to run around to get wet. I could only wish. Hey, you opened the door. I just came through it.
What places you shouldn't go, Tim?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, we're focusing, if you're visiting today, we're focusing on Jesus this year. He's our number one topic all year long. We're going to talk about Jesus. Tell you, when you're in the midst of a storm, it's great to have your eyes focused on Jesus. Peter learned that, didn't he? Remember that time when he stepped out in the water and when he took his eyes off Jesus? What happened? He began to sink. Kept his eyes off Jesus. It's important today that you really, really follow closely enough to not lose sight of him. Have you ever driven in traffic, heavy traffic, and tried to follow someone? When they go out inside and pass someone and you're in back and you're trying to, where are they? Do you still see them? You're trying to keep your eyes on them? Some people think that they're close to God because they come to church. And Pastor Blake used to say that, you know, coming to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going into your garage makes you a car. But some people have the illusion that they're close to God geographically because they come into his house. And it's really an illusion because it's like binoculars. You look through binoculars and it makes you feel like you're closer to something than you really are. These are days when we need to focus on Jesus and keep our eyes upon him, because when the economy is as it is and the future is as uncertain as it is, it's great to know that you have a clear view to Jesus. So whatever you're doing, make sure you're getting clear view of him. The way we're doing that is looking at the book of John. So if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 2. We've already covered chapter 1, and we're into chapter 2. And I'm going to ask my lovely wife to come. She's going to read this section again. It's the time when Jesus entered into the ministry, and he did a miraculous sign. Actually, the word there is Simeon. It's the word for signs. It's not the word miracle. In the book of John, he doesn't talk about miracles. He talks about signs. And I said it quite a bit about that last week. I'll just say a little bit this week as we move into focus for this morning. If you don't have Bibles, as you notice, the ushers are going up and down the aisles. Just raise your hand. There's a young lady right over here that needs a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, let this be our gift to you. If you just left your Bible at home or you just forgot to bring it, then after you get done using it, just leave it in the seat and we'll collect it and give it to someone next time. So if you're there now, John chapter 2, we're going to look at the first sign that Jesus did as he entered into the ministry. He's been 30 years living at home. And as you know, Mary left him at the temple one time. I don't want you to leave Jesus at the church, okay? Take him home with you. Jesus wants to go home with you this week. He wants to not just visit your home, he wants to live in your home. And he wants to clean your home up so it's presentable. And so just like Jesus was left at the temple by Mary, she had to go back and get him. Don't leave Jesus here today, okay? Take him home with you. He wants to go with you. It's like, isn't it American Express? Don't leave home without it. Don't leave church without Jesus. Let him go home with you. So John chapter 2, we're going to look at this first sign and make some comments about it.
On the third...
Oops, you got the wrong.
On the third day...
See, this is deja vu, isn't it?
Try this one.
Good to be.
On the third day...
Yeah.
On the third day...
Hey!
I'll take the original.
You can start after the third day. Okay, we got it. The third day.
The third day. A wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washings, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him.
Thanks, babe. Now, as we study the book of John, you're going to run into this word signs over and over again. You'll pick it up again in chapter 3, one in chapter 4, and I could list the other chapters down the road. Time and time again, he talks about signs. Now, a sign is basically telling us something. If you're driving on the road and you see a sign with a steep incline, you don't have to have any words. You just know that what it's saying to you. If you see a sign that has a squirrely line, you know that the road ahead is windy. Signs tell you something. This was a miracle of turning the water into wine. But when he says it's a sign, he's saying to us, the miracle isn't so important as what the miracle is saying to us. So when we read this first thing that Jesus did when he entered into his ministry for 3 years, we say, what does this miracle say to us? And so that's the important thing. It's not like, wow, water to wine. No, it's what does this miracle say to us? That's what a sign does. And what this miracle says to us, what Jesus is wanting to communicate, one of several things, but one thing is, I want you to know that when you put your faith in me, change will begin to happen. Change will begin to happen. Do you notice in verse 12 it says the disciples put their faith in him? Put their faith. They began to believe in him. He wants you to know that if you give your life to him, if you put your confidence in him, you are going to start seeing changes take place. If you aren't seeing change take place in your life, and you've been following him supposedly for the last several years, then you need to really investigate and see what's wrong. Because when Jesus is present, change happens. How many of you notice that in Scripture? When Jesus shows up, things take place. Man, when, you know, people get healed and people who are discouraged, they begin to get encouraged. People who are filled with confusion, they begin to experience peace. I've seen when Jesus shows up that just like the life of the party, have you ever had a party and someone comes in and when they come in, the whole atmosphere changes? Sometimes they're the type of person you wish they hadn't come because they change the whole atmosphere of the place. But there are some people who are so charismatic that things change when they just enter a room. And when Jesus would come, things would happen. Weak people started to get strong and sick people started to get well. Blind people started to see things. People who couldn't hear stuff all of a sudden heard things happening. People who saw from one perspective was able to see from another's perspective. See, that's what Christianity is all about. It's about change. And so that's what he does. The very first thing when he enters ministry is he changes the water to wine. He wants you to know. It's a sign for us. He says, it's all about change. Now, if you're 50 years or older, would you raise your hand? Because I'm 50 years or older. So. Now, I mean, everyone has seen this, but those who are at least 50 years or older, you've seen a lot of change in 50 years, haven't you? I was born in 51. I thought it'd be interesting, and I just don't have the time to just list some of the major changes that have happened over the last 50 years, 60 years. But they're massive. I read a book called Megatrends back in the 70s, and it was a book that didn't talk about the fads, but it talked about the trends, the long-term changes that were happening. It was really fascinating. September 11th, 2001, there's been a lot of changes since that time, haven't there? I mean, that was a point in history where things began to change. I think of the view of the family, you know, over the last 50 years. When I was born as a little boy growing up, the view of the family was so different. Do you know that less than 25% of the homes in America, as I speak, they have less than 25% have a mom and dad with their own children. Less than 25%. In the big cities, in the small cities, in various places, we have the home is defined of girlfriend, boyfriend living together, yet to be married. We have two dads, we have two moms, we have step families, we have blended families, we have single parent families. There's the whole view of family life has changed over 50 years. There's a lot of changes that have taken place. And This text tells you and me that when you come to Jesus, he changes things too. See, all change isn't necessarily from God, but there is a change that happens when you touch Jesus Christ. Now, this book is all about belief. So as you and I put our faith in him, if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to come into your life and to help you live the way that you were created to live, if you've never had that conversation with God Almighty, then it starts there. But even after you say the big I do, like I did to my wife a number of years ago, there's a lot of little I do's that you have to say afterwards. So once you invite him to the wedding, and that's what he was invited to the wedding, wasn't he? But now he's at the wedding, and now his mother says, hey, they've run out of the wine, we need to have you do something else. So the invitation to help us continues. Just because you give birth to a son or a daughter, that's not the end of it. That's just the beginning of it. But it starts with the birth. It starts with me asking, Father, would you forgive me my sins? Jesus, would you, in accordance with your word, I invite you to lead me and to show me where to go. And when that happens, you become born again. You become changed. That's the miracle, that first miracle. All change is miraculous, but it's not all instantaneous. But it starts with that miraculous touch when you say, Jesus, I need you. I want you to come into my life. He plants a seed. You may feel something, you may not feel something, but that seed begins to grow just like a pregnant woman who has been implanted with the seed of man and into that egg, and all of a sudden something begins to happen and you get to change and things take place. It starts there. But then we come and we say, God, we need change. How does Jesus change us? Let me give you a few suggestions. This isn't in your notes, but you're welcome to use that piece of paper for your notes. The reason it's not in your notes, it just came to me this morning. So, how does Jesus change us? Well, he changes us with time. Time changes things. He uses time to change things. Do you believe this? I used to be 8 pounds. Really? I used to be good looking. As a kid, I just saw my grandson walk by, and he's got his hair spiked up, and just, I don't know how you did that, babe, but this looks nice. I tell you, I used to look good. Man, I got pictures to prove it. But I've changed. Went from 8 pounds to 160 pounds. Okay, 170 pounds. Change through time just changes things. Jesus, how does Jesus change? Well, he uses time, but he also uses experiences. Experiences will change you. I had a woman not too long ago come in and said, I hate men. Was married, but been divorced and has not been remarried. I hate men. In that conversation, why? The way that he treated me, and he began to list things. See, that experience can change you. I've talked to people, maybe you have too, they don't come to church anymore. It's like something happened in the church, and it hurt them. And whether it has grounds or merit, who knows, but that experience turned them off and caused them to do whatever they're doing today. That's sad. Sad when experiences change you. How does Jesus change us? Well, the third way that he changes is through people. People change people. People change people. My wife has changed me over the years. I used to be happy. No, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. Oh, boy, it's not going to be fun at the Howard household. Would anybody like to invite me over to have lunch this afternoon instead of me going home? I am a better man because of my wife, and I mean that truthfully. Happier. Lot of joy is in this man because of her, our relationship. People change people. My little grandson, he's changed me. I'm a changed man because of him. 1 Corinthians 15, I think it's 33 or 15 at least, is in that chapter. It says good company corrupts good character. Bad company, corrupts good character. I can tell where you will be in 5 years by the friends that you have. One, people you hang around is going to influence you. They're going to change you. They're going to shape you to some extent. God uses people. We're in a government right now that's making some decisions, and it's going to affect you. There are people who are higher than us, who have more control over things than we do, and their decisions are going to affect us. People change people. David's 1 Samuel 8, it says, why do you want a king? Why don't you let me lead you? If you get a king, they're gonna take this and they're going to take that. They're going to take the best of this. They're going to tax you. They're going to add all these things. Those people, they're going to make decisions that are going to affect you. Why do you want that? Why don't you follow me? People affect people. Lots of things begin to change us. Time, experiences, people change us. Sin changes us. And you know that Jesus even uses sin. Jesus uses difficult times to change people. Sometimes it's a terrible experience that turns a person to God. Do you know anybody who's turned to God because life broke apart, didn't turn out the way that they thought, they had a terrible experience? Maybe someone has sinned, but their sin caught up with them, and as a result, they turned to God, and God uses that sin and turns it around and makes it work out His purposes. Wow, isn't God a tremendous God? Instead of just kind of stomping on you, say, you know, get out of my sight. Good riddance to bad rubbish. You made your bed, lay in it. You know, you sinned, you forget you. You know, we got a God who's always merciful. You turn to Him in the middle of darkness. See, that's why we don't have to be afraid in this economic time or in the uncertainty of our future. Because He never changes. He's revealed Himself. There are some things that don't change. You know that? I was listening to a man this past week, and he said, in 10 years from now, I can't predict to you what this nation will look like. And I'll tell you, in 10 years, the whole landscape of this whole nation could really change. If not 10, 15, or 20 years, I'll tell you, it could be totally different. Who can predict what the nation will look like? But we can know with certainty that there are some things that will be the same. You know, the people are still going to be hurting. People are still going to be dealing with bitterness. People are still going to be dealing with unforgiveness. People are still going to need some assistance because they're facing crisis. That's why you and I, God's people, are agents of change. God uses people to change things. And you and I, even as Andrew pointed out in the prayer, in his word when he first came up here, we are agents of change. He uses you and me to change the destiny of people. I have changed my little grandson. His destiny is changed because he's under our roof. If he were under someone else's roof, it would be different. We have changed his destiny. I think of a couple who just came back. I talked with them this last week, and they have adopted, I think it was 3 children, and I want them to share their story with you because they're in the armed services and will be leaving this summer, being transferred, and those 3 little children, their destinies changed. Why? Because 2 people decided to adopt them. People change people. God can use experiences. He can use people. He uses time. He can use even sin to change people. He turns it around. Jesus changes people through prayer and faith. When you stand in prayer and when you stand in faith, God can change things. There's a couple in the church, and right now, this for this assembly, for those of you who are recently attending, February 8th, the Lord spoke to us about entering into a fast, and we've been fasting 6 days a week since then. I believe we will do it at least through Easter, maybe longer. I want to revisit it at Easter, but February 8th, we started the fast Monday through Saturday. There's over 300 people that are participating. I pray that you'll continue to persevere and stand. Some people are fasting. They've chosen 1 day a week. And some will give up 3 meals. Some will give up 1 meal. Some will give up whatever they give up. And they will not, as I've said, stuff their mouth with food, but stuff their mouth with prayer and with praise. And we are seeking God for some pretty big stuff, some pretty big stuff. And that's what changes things, prayer and faith. And God uses, He uses time, experiences, He uses people. He'll use even sin, but He uses prayer and faith as we stand in opposition to what the enemy has told us is true, and we refuse to believe that. We believe John 1, first chapter, when light comes into the world, darkness is dispelled. Darkness does not have any right to be in the same presence place as light is. So we're standing for those things. When we pray for the nations, it almost sounds silly, like silliness, doesn't it, to give us Canada, give us Mexico. There's some things happening in Mexico, if you're following the news, especially on the border regions, that really should concern us enough to pray. Give us Afghanistan, where our troops are, and Iraq. And Iran. Those are pretty lofty prayers. But see, that's what faith does. Faith prays for things that it cannot see in the present realm, but believes that if we can open the door to heaven, God can do something about that, and he can do something. Faith, Hebrews 1 says, it sees what can't be seen. It's the substance of things that can't be seen. That's what faith really is. We have a couple here today, and they're a part of our prayers, Buzz and Dee. Why don't you come on up, Buzz and Dee? A few weeks ago, we brought them before you and let you know that Dee is struggling with breast cancer, and she gave a report, and we prayed with them, and we're praying for other people who have diseases, who have things that have come upon them, and the doctors have really said, you know, there's nothing we really can do, and that's where faith and prayer come in. And when you stand in prayer and you stand in faith, then there is a release of for the possibility of change. This young woman here and this young man, good-looking couple. You like that, huh? Okay, you owe me later on a lunch. They've been standing in faith. Don and I were at their home last night for a couple of hours, and I'll tell you, would you agree with me that the Lord's presence came, didn't it? Didn't he? There was a visitation of the Lord, just really strong there. I've sensed the Lord a lot of times in my life. He doesn't come always because we deserve it. Very seldom do we ever deserve it, if ever. But he comes when someone will ask. And we just begin to praise the Lord and begin to rebuke the spirits of darkness. And I told Donna when I got home, I said, I haven't talked to the devil that way for quite a while. So we just stood against and says, you know, you don't have any right here. Enemy, this is God's territory. This is my house. See, this building belongs not to you and me. It belongs to Jesus Christ. My house. He's got some real estate. You know, I have a little home in Fresno where my son is renting. God owns that. I don't own that. I own a little place, but paying on a place. But it's called our place. It's called Jesus's place. Wherever you put your foot, the Bible says that becomes God's territory if you claim it in His name. Well, that's what faith does. And when you pray and you believe, then you begin to see God change things. But faith doesn't always cause things to happen immediately. Sometimes you have to persevere and you have to stand and you have to keep believing what the Word of God says. Even though your eyes see this and your body feels this and your ears hear this, you got to say, I believe what God's saying. And even as that which I see, I believe will become the reality in my life. Now that's what this couple has been doing with regards to this cancer. And so she wanted to give you an update, and I wanted you to hear this update because God is good.
Good morning. God is awesome, isn't he? Yes. He's faithful God. He's wonderful. God is amazing. I want to tell you guys how I'm doing, and I'm improving, and I want to encourage you because you've been praying for me with fasting and praying, and I want to tell you the fruit of your prayer. I have a lump on my left breast, and the doctor saw it, and it's shrinking, and God is awesome. It's exciting. Yes. And I'm getting better and better every day. Even though I'm going through so much, I'm winning the battle. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you now, who is Jesus? Jesus is the one who brought the whole world into being with his word. He parted the Red Sea. This is true. Romans 3:4 says, let God be true and everyone be a liar. Amen. Yes. Let God be true and everyone be a liar. The Bible you're holding in your hands, it is all true. Mm-hmm. It is all true. Every word God promised me is true. Every word God promised you is true. It is true. You know, if our gospel is not true, then we're preaching just a fairy tale gospel. No. But it's not fairy tale. It is power. The word of God is powerful. It is powerful. I am believing that I am the healed of the Lord. I am the healed of the Lord. Jesus is the one who was with the three Jewish boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was with them in the blazing fire. In the blazing fire. But they weren't burned. And then also, Jesus was with Daniel in the lion's den. It is true. Daniel didn't die. Same Jesus is with me. The one who healed the multitudes is with me. I want to tell you, are you sick today? Believe God. Believe God. God gave me word. There is someone here who is suffering with liver disease. God has healed you. And there is also someone in the section. Your left leg is swollen. The Lord is healing it. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
God is faithful. Just raise your hand and accept it. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes, God has healed you. The Lord has healed you. Accept your healing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God is alive. He is alive. We're not preaching a weak gospel. We're preaching a powerful gospel. You know, because we prayed, things are happening. It is happening in the spiritual realm. Revival is coming.
Amen.
It is coming.
Yes. Yes, Jesus.
Signs and wonders have to follow us. That's the gospel. Don't just come and go. Believe this powerful God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for praying for me, for all the cards. It means so much to me. Please, believe in God. Believe in God. As the disciples believed in God, we are the disciples. Believe in God. Walk in a powerful way with Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. I want to share with you what happened to us about 22 years ago. Right after we got married, our house was full of gifts that we got from our wedding. And we went to L.A. for a spiritual meeting. And on the way back, about 4 o'clock in the morning, we went into our house. Our house was broken into. And they took all the stuff that they could get. And right after we got in and we stopped praying, first thing we want is that the desire that we have is for people to get saved. That's all there is to it in life. So we start to pray for those people to get saved. Whoever broke into our house, for them to get saved. To make the long story short, a month come by, months went by, another month come by, and I start calling the police department. And I say to them, "Where is my stuff?" "We don't know where it is. It might be in L.A. by now." I said, "No. You see what you don't understand. My stuff is God's. It's not mine." And those people who took the stuff need to get saved. This is a true story. I can give you a phone number to call and ask.
We trust you.
Yes. Then months by, and then one day we got a call from the police department. And they said, you come and get your stuff. I said, okay. We went and I said, but I want to know who the person is. I have a business with the man. They told me where court it was, and I went and I sat in the court. The guy had no idea who I was. When it was all done, I walked with him and I said, I want to buy you breakfast tomorrow. Would you come? He said, yeah, I need someone to talk to. Well, I had a chance to go with him and had breakfast. And I told him, the house you broke into is my house. But I want to tell you, I love you. There is a God who loves you. He wants to change you. To make the long story short, the guy accepted Christ Jesus as his personal Savior. Mm. This was a Saturday morning. Sunday, he brought his wife to be, and my wife led her to the Lord. You know, they attended this church for many years. God is a good God.
Yes.
But there is a thief that comes to steal and to destroy. This time he came to steal my wife. But Jesus has dealt with him already on the cross of Calvary.
Yeah. Can't have it.
That thief has to pay. My wife will be healed. The same thief that broke into my house is the same thief that come to kill, to destroy. But I want to tell you, Jesus, when he went on the cross, when he received those stripes, he thought of her. He thought of you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thanks for being an example. Yes, to us. Thank you. Thank you. How does Jesus change? Well, he uses some time. He uses some experiences. He uses people. He even uses sin. Use prayer and faith. When people pray in faith, and faith looks silly to the human mind, but to God, it opens up the door for him to do miraculous things, for signs. There's one other way. He uses our obedience. Remember when Mary said to Jesus, to the servants, they said, just do whatever he tells you to do. You got to obey. You got to cooperate with Jesus in order to see signs and wonders. You got to say, we're out of wine. You have to admit you have a problem. Then you got to begin with Jesus and invite him to help. And then you got to cooperate with him. The Lord spoke to me a phrase years ago. I've shared it with you. Maybe some of you have forgotten. And it's this. Almost 6 years ago, when I was going through a change in my life, a major change, he said, I will use your obedience as my pen to write your future. You have to obey God. You do have to cooperate with him. I think it was June Evans. What did she say? She said, God's writing your future. Don't let the enemy take his pen. Take the pen. Kind of like that type of a thing. But I will use your obedience as my pen to write your future. Your future hasn't been written yet. My future hasn't been written yet. Don't just throw in the towel and say, oh, well, the doctor says this, or the banker said that. Oh, my friends, and it's happening to everybody, so therefore just automatically. No, these are times to rise up in faith. And who knows what God will ultimately do? David said that when he prayed for his dying son. Who knows what God will do? But we have the right to ask and declare. And our future doesn't have to be a certain way. It can be totally different. And you have to be willing to just do things that maybe sound silly. Maybe sound a little kind of outside of your comfort zone. If you're going to change, God will use your obedience, but you have to be obedient to him. And sometimes I've found that he will stretch you beyond your comfort zone. Has anybody else found that to be true? He'll ask you to do things that you're not really comfortable with doing. I mean, the little simple thing of coming here and you hear a pastor up here or a worship leader say, let's lift our hands to the Lord and worship him. And something inside of you, it's not even a thought that you actually verbalize in your mind. It's just kind of a feeling like, and you let everybody else do that, but you don't do that. And you know, I was like that one day too. But you know, the Bible says to lift your hands in the sanctuary. It's not like we say that. It's not like a charismatic or a Pentecostal a tradition. It's what the Word says. And I learned that I kind of went like this. Then it was like this. Finally, it was like this. Then finally, it was like this. And you know, when my hands got up like this, self-consciousness broke. It really was a spirit of pride. Sometimes the enemy keeps us locked up into things and we won't expand or grow. We don't see the miraculous touch of God, the signs and wonders, because we are not willing to stretch, to take a step. You know, it takes faith to come up here when you're still experiencing the wrestling match with sickness and to stand and say, God's healed me. You know, that's faith talking. So it takes faith. You have to do some things. Sometimes for some of you, you know, I look around every once in a while or I'll be in the back and I'll watch. And when we sing, you know, lots of you won't be singing, and maybe it's because you got a terrible voice, but that's okay. God loves to hear you sing. My grandson's got a terrible voice, but I love to hear him sing. You know what I mean? He dances like me, you know. He doesn't know how to dance. I love to see him dance, though. It's just great. I love that little demonstration of leading a worship this morning. I don't know if all of you could see that, but little Tarek came up here and was dancing. That's tremendous. God loves that, but for some reason, you know, the cat's got our tongue. The Bible says the Bible's like a lion. It's got our tongue, and we don't want to do things that kind of sound silly. And well, everybody else is lifting their voice up, and I think it's stupid. You know what I mean? Or why do they do that? Well, try it. You know, the Bible says lift up your voice in the sanctuary, and if other people are distracting you, lift your voice higher than they lift theirs, and then you won't be distracted. Give praise to the Lord. He'll cause you to open up. You know, some of you are private people. Salvation is a personal thing, but it's not a private thing. I'll tell you, you know, I've heard people hide behind that. Well, it's just a real private thing for me. Well, no, it never was done for privacy. He wants to save you so that you can save. He can save others through you. It's to be something that you share, and so you have to go beyond your comfort zone. And sometimes it requires that you do something silly. Jim, come up here, will you? I had lunch with Jim Childress just the other day, and he shared with me something that he did with a piece of property, and it sounded kind of stupid. If you don't look at it, you know, with eyes of faith. And some people thought he was stupid too. So hopefully this one's on. See that one. So I just wanted to share with him what happened when he did what God told him to do.
It's funny when he mentioned doing something silly, he called my name. But there was some property that, see, she's not here today, so I'm going to say this. After Sandy asked me to marry her and I accepted, I had some property I'd purchased. And so I said, well, there's a time limit. I need to sell it, and I needed to get some things done before I moved out here. I wanted to make sure there were no loose ends. So I had this property. It was back in the mountains, and had it up for sale, and I'd had it up by owner, and I hadn't got any bids on it, anything going on. And a lot of people told me, that property will never sell. Things are down right now. It'll never sell and all these things. So what I did, I went up to the property, drove up, and I looked at the property, and I said, somebody's impressed with you, and somebody needs you, and I called you sold in Jesus' name. So then I went and called a realtor, said I want to put this property up because I was traveling to like three different nations, and I didn't have time myself. I said, what do you want for this? So I raised the price on it about a third, again, of what I had originally asked, the price. And everybody told me, you're crazy. Well, while I was gone, missions trip, I got back, there was a phone call, and the realtor says, guess what? Somebody's calling, want to buy this property. It's really funny because they had went and looked at some other property, and they'd looked at yours, and they'd taken pictures, and they went and looked at something else, and something told them, says, you know what? We've got to buy that property. That's what the man said. Said, something told me, you've got to buy this. And the guy showed up, and he had cash. And he bought the property, so all these people were saying it'll never sell. But you know what? By faith, I said, I call you sold. In Jesus' name, I spoke to the property. And the property sold. I closed the week before I had to come out here. We went in, no banks involved or anything. The man showed up with cash. And I minister in Brazil. I've went year after year to Brazil. And the man who bought this property is the U.S. ambassador to Brazil. And he said, I'm going to be retiring. It's a lot of land back here. I want a place back by myself. He said, it's just perfect for me. So it was a blessing.
Stay up here. Stay up. Just take the mic and just stand back right there. Speaking of the land, huh? In that, I mean, come on. If you saw that, wouldn't you think that was odd? I mean, you know, you're driving by and someone's out there, I speak to you, land, and your name is sold. Someone is in love with you. Someone's coming to purchase you. If you heard that, say, wow, what a wacko. 911, get your trucks up here. Hurry. We don't know what this guy is doing. I mean, that's just, but see, that's faith in action. You know, if you stop taking risks, if you're unwilling to step out in faith, see, change doesn't happen just through our own efforts. Change can happen, but not lasting change, not the change that Jesus is talking about. You know, have you ever bought a present that says batteries not included? Well, faith isn't included. You've got the opportunity, but you have to have faith. And faith is when you step out. Now, I've asked Jim to stay up here because we didn't do this first service, but we're going to do it this service. I'm not going to go with the other points. They were really good points, too, I thought. Just have to forego them. You'll probably be able to live without them, I'm sure. But we're going to pray for change today. We'll pray for change. I'm going to ask you, Jim, to pray for a change from sickness into health. Okay, I want you to pray for prayers. Some of you are being affected by the economy, and maybe you've lost your job. You don't know where to turn. Now, all of us haven't been affected as of yet. It could be sweeping as we go along in the next, several months or years. But some of you may have lost your. I've ran into two people from Koinonia who they were laid off. 6,100 people from one company, Visay, in various areas. And one of the persons happens to go to our church, and I says, I want you to keep me posted because I want to help in any way that I can. Another person. So there are those, and I would like to have Andrew come. And he's gonna pray that where there is lack, that God will bring provision. So to change that from nothing to provision. And right now, if you have something that needs to change. Buzz, would you hate me if I brought you up one more time? I'd like to have you pray, Buzz, for the internal change that needs to happen. I had a woman come to me just recently. She was crying in my office, and she says, Pastor, I can't live like this any longer. I can't live in this. She was referring to her marriage. Something has to change. I'd like to have you just pray for that type of change, that marriages and families would change. You know, there may be some of you here in just a few seconds as you stand, that there's something has to change in your family. So you're going to pray for families, okay? And you're going to pray for sickness from, say, let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the sick say, I'm well. And you're going to pray for where there's lack, there's going to be a release of abundance, and there's going to be a provision for people. Now, if you are here today and you need, now all of us need to change. I mean, there isn't one person in this room that doesn't have some. But if you're here today and you really need God to change some things, just really on kind of a Richter scale of a little bit higher, would you stand? Would you just stand? I'm assuming that this will be. I'm going to have everybody stand in just a second, but I want to identify those who you're in, whether it's personal or family or job or something that it really needs to change. Okay, look. Okay, this is now what did Mary do? What Mary, do you remember what she did in this text? Jesus, first thing, we're out of wine. She admitted she had a problem. Jesus, we can't do anything about this. We've tried, we can't change it, but we're out. Could you help us? First place, acknowledge your problem. Second, invite Jesus. And three, cooperate with him. She says, do whatever he tells you to do. Just start obeying, and then follow through. Follow through is the big key. When you're taking a swing, you don't want to hit and stop. You want to all the way through, follow through. When you're golfing, follow through. It's the follow through that will release the signs and wonders. Now let's have everybody stand, and let's just take hands with each other, and let's believe that right now as we invite Jesus to bring about change, that in this moment of time, there's a seed that's being planted and being touched. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name. We'll start with you, Jim. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise.
Father, we just praise you and we just glorify you, Lord. And there's people here today, Lord, this sickness in their body. And we don't deny that, Lord, but we deny that it has a right to be there. And in Jesus' name, Lord, we start calling those things that are not as though they were, Lord. We speak to our bodies. We begin to call them healed right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we don't concentrate this morning on the sickness, but Lord, our focus is, Pastor Tim preaches on you. You are our healer, Lord Jesus, this morning. And by your stripes, we were healed, Lord. And right now, we speak unto our bodies, Lord. It may sound crazy in the natural, Lord, but in the spiritual realm, we know, Lord God, that your word says we will speak life, Lord. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And right now we speak life unto bodies. We speak healing unto bodies. We speak for situations to change. We declare this is the day of change. And this morning people are being changed from sickness unto health, Lord God. Lord, those have had a death sentence this morning, we speak life unto that situation. That this morning it is a day of change and bodies are being changed, God. Lives are being changed this morning in Jesus' name, Lord God. Blood pressure is becoming normal this morning, and diabetes is going this morning in Jesus' name, and hearts are being made whole this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for brand new livers, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you that arthritis is leaving people, Lord, and limbs are being made whole. Backs are being restored, Father, in Jesus' name this morning. Hearing and sight are being restored, Father. Whatever they need this morning, this is a day of change, Lord, from the top of their heads to the soles of
their feet. People are being healed this morning. They're being made renewed. They're being refreshed. They're being healed, God. It is a day of change, and we're being changed from sickness unto health in Jesus' name. And Father, we just thank you for that. We just glorify you in Jesus' name. Thank you. Right now, people are even feeling your presence, God, in different parts of their body. They're even feeling warmth that's coming upon them, Lord. And they're feeling a change in those situations, Father. Thank you, Lord. We're looking away to, and we're not into hopelessness anymore, God, but we're looking by faith unto your word, Lord, unto you, your eternal word, which does not change. Thank you that you are our healer. And thank you, Lord, this morning things are changing in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you are a God of provision, that you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. And today we stand for provision. Jesus, you said, ask and receive. You said, every day I will provide daily bread for you as you ask. You said, God, that you are concerned even for the sparrow and even more for us. And so, Lord, we lift up today our need this morning. We lift up financial need for those that have lost jobs, those that are in a position of financial insecurity, those, Lord, that because of poor decision making even have been with debt that has loaded up time and time again. Lord, we stand for every financial need this morning, and we say, God, you are a God that provides. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are a provider. You can break chains of debt. You can break chains of bondage to the economy. You can provide jobs where there are no jobs, Lord. Wherever there is need, you are sufficient this morning. And Lord, I lift up need, even more than financial. I lift up those situations that have been intractable, that people have faced time and time again, and they have not seen answers. God, you are a God that provides the answer. You are a God that opens doors where doors have been shut. You are a God that has the key to every door. And so, God, we stand today on the solid rock that is you, and we declare that though the flood comes, you provide a way out. Though the fire comes, Lord, we will not be burned. Lord, though everything may tumble around our ears, we stand on a solid rock that is a rock of provision, that is a rock of security, and a rock of strength. And Lord, we will find our security in you. We will find our stability in you. We will find our hope in you. And so, Lord, open the doors of heaven this morning. Open the doors of heaven and rain down every blessing that you have for your people. Oh God, I just see this morning that provision is raining down on your people, and all we must do is receive from you. We know that God's people are always kept safe and secure when they are close to you. And so, Lord, we stay close to you this morning, and we ask you to be Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. You are the one who started family in the Garden of Eden. You created family because you want to have fellowship with the family. And Lord, Father God, we lift up families tonight, this morning. Lord, the family that has been broken. We lift up family that has a hard time financially, emotionally. But mighty God, you're able to do exceedingly more than what we ask or think. Father God, we pray for harmony in the family in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, give the man the wisdom and the woman the wisdom, the mother the wisdom. And we pray for the children, oh God. Father, where there is hopelessness, Father, we pray for hope. We pray for faith in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask you to encourage families in the name of Jesus today. Father, we pray for healing in the families. Relationship, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, even I sense in my spirit for those people who are watching on the internet. Today, Father God, I ask you to reach and touch the family in Jesus' name. Let there be healing in the name of Jesus. Let there be harmony in the family in the name of Jesus. Enemy, I say to you in the name of Jesus, you're trying to break family. Today I say to you, your power is broken in Jesus' name. Your power is broken in Jesus' name. And we come against you in the name of Jesus. And we command you to leave the family in Jesus' name. You tormentor, leave in the family in Jesus' name. And Father, thank you for restoring today. Thank you for the restoration of families today, God. And we give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's drop hands and let's give the Lord a clap.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. What a mighty God. Oh, the powerful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Be glorified. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We talked earlier about taking a first step. That change really has to happen inside, not just on the outside. Thank God that when God changes you, you know, your exterior looks better. You know, when you put on the robes of praise, when you start seeking God, you look, you better looking. Bible says praise is becoming to the saints. Your face begins to change. Your countenance looks different. Something will happen externally. If there's no difference outwardly between you and the world, then you aren't releasing God to work at you. Because when He touches people, something changes externally. It's noticeable. When they tasted the wine, it wasn't water, it was wine. It tasted differently. You'll look differently. You'll think differently. You'll feel differently. You'll pursue life differently. Things will change externally. But I'll tell you, when God touches you, He doesn't just touch your exterior. He just doesn't change your behavior. He changes your heart. The heart is that word, who you really are. Who you really are. It's not your spirit, it's not your soul, it's not your mind. The heart is who you really are. The real you begins to change. Transformation happens. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal, you've never had that conversation with Him that says, Father, I really do want to become a saint. I'm a sinner now, but I want to become a saint. I want to be born again. I want to have a miracle of having you in my life. That's the first step to real change. And you can do that by coming in just a few moments to some people who will be down here. The elders and the prayer teams are even making their way right now. As I say that, elders and prayer team do that. All you have to do is just come right down here and say, I want real change to happen. I don't want to just rearrange things. I want things to be torn down and rebuilt a brand new. That happens when you say, I want Jesus to come into my life. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand, but if that's you and you want to have this true change start to happen, come down, let us pray with you, send you on your way, and become a part of the family of God. Jesus, we thank you that all things are possible to those who believe. We know, God, that you are the author of change. You told us when you first went into the ministry and gave us this first sign, you said if we put our faith in you, things will start to change. God, I've changed a whole lot over the last 30-some-odd years of my seeking you. I know I have a long way to go, and many things still need to be changed, but you've already changed me, and you've changed many here. Would you please use us, Lord, as instruments of change? Use time. Use experiences. Use, Lord, us, your people, to change people. Oh, even in our sin and our darkness, use that to change us. Oh, Jesus, as we pray and stand out in faith, and as we walk in obedience, let our obedience open the door to change that will be lasting change. I thank you for that. In your precious Son's name, Jesus, we pray all of these things, dear Father. And Holy Spirit, thank you for being here today. And continuing to remind us of how true Jesus really is, and that He's in our midst in this season of time. We give you praise, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We glorify you today. Amen and amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. If you need prayer, please come down. Let us pray for you.